Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nancy's already said it several times. The Lord gave it to me a long time ago. He says, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. So I am here to declare I am a mouth. I was one of eight children, and we had to talk over each other, had to fight for whatever. And I am not worried about a low number because we went to a meeting a while back in our town, and it was a real low number for this man that had come from Azusa Street Prophetic Ministries in California. And a pastor had hosted, which we just have a meeting there on Wednesday, Women Praise and Worship. And I went up to Pastor Tracy after it was over, and I said, Tracy, don't worry. Now, there was maybe 75 people, something like that. But I said, don't worry about a low number. Because I said, they're not here for their protection. Because when Fred Berry got up to speak, and I almost wanted to do it when I was sharing with what I was doing, if you don't want to hear from God, don't come. Because you're going to be held accountable when you hear from the Lord. And his wife looked kind of funny when I said it. But then Tracy said, I hear you. I hear you. So I just feel like this is truly the word that the Lord, the word from the Lord today to encourage the body. And it was funny because I spoke in Alaska in April, and it was Do Not Steal. And the Lord started speaking and sharing some things, and then all of a sudden he just made a 180-degree turn. And he said, what is the whole world afraid of? Identity theft. And I think this is just the sequel to speaking up there, because number one, we don't know who we are in the Lord. And the sad thing of it is because we don't really know who God is, because Daniel 11:32 says they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And we're not seeing enough exploits in the world. Paul said, I didn't come with fancy words, but he said, I come in a demonstration of power. And where is the power in the church? We're not really seeing it. Among strong spiritual leaders, even. You know, we say we believe until something happens. And then what are we going to do? Well, I am a word person. So I have a lot of word, but I have a testimony too. So steal. What does steal mean? When somebody comes intentionally to take something away from you with no intention of giving it back, no thought of giving it back. I am taking it from you, and I am keeping it forever. And so that was why the Lord gave me the scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I used to say, I love that white board over there. Go and make you a ledger sheet. Put it in your notebook, and you put steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that you can put underneath there, it's not God. Your peace, your finances, your family, your destiny, whatever, your children. It's the enemy that's coming and doing that. But Jesus said, I am come that you may have life, but have life more abundantly. So abundantly means, oh, I should have looked up abundantly, shouldn't I? I love Google. I'm learning this stuff. I'm 68 years old, but I said, "Whoa, I'm getting into this new stuff." And I like it. But abundantly is just flowing over if you stop and think about it. It's not just a little bitty bit, I'll give you this and I'll give you this. But he said, I am going to give to you abundantly. And so then these were just, it was like I was brainstorming. My daughter went to college and she said, brainstorming, you write all this stuff. Well, the Lord woke me up brainstorming and he started giving me stuff. And it was like Malachi 3:8, he said, will a man rob God? And I know that goes down and it talks about giving and tithing. But I said, I'm not going there. And then I started thinking, can we rob from God? And I'm going to put a disclaimer here at the beginning because I was sharing with this woman. And she said, now, Nancy, God ain't up there in lack. He ain't up there crying over you because of this. And he ain't feeling bad. So we all do y'all understand that? God is total, complete, awesome, sovereign. So I understand that. But I'm going to give you scripture where he has emotions. Jesus had emotions, Holy Spirit, because they're all part of the Godhead. And I thought of Matthew 23:37, and Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how much I longed to gather your children as a mother hen gathers her baby chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't allow me to. Now stop and think about that. And it's on my notes, but the Word of God said, Moses went and he said, go wash, clean yourself up. God wants us to go to the mountain. The creator of the universe wants to meet with you. And so they went and they got cleaned up and they come back and they felt the thunder and the cloud and the power of God. And it's kind of like, Moses, you go. And you go listen to what he says, because I know Kelly. So Kelly, you go. And Kelly's going to come back. And you tell me what he says. Now, I don't want to miss nothing. And he's going to come back on his own and do the best that he can do. But have you ever played that game? Kelly, you tell her, and you tell her, and you tell him, and you tell him. Now, you tell me what I told Kelly. And sometimes it can be close, but sometimes it can be, oh, my gosh. So Jesus, he said he was grieved. He wanted to his children to come. And has anybody ever seen a hen with the baby chicks? Watch out. We had them when we were younger. And then another time in Luke 19, 41 through 44, it says Jesus looked out over the city and he wept. He cried over that city because of their sin. He said, you've killed the prophets that I sent among you. And he said, I wanted to reveal to you things that were going to be. But he said, now your eyes are blinded and you're not going to see it. Because we're hungry and we want, but Nancy's almost preached in everything that she said in my message. But there's a cost. And who goes and builds a house except he first counts the cost of what he's going to do? If you've got $1.98, you ain't going to get a $250,000 home out of it. You're going to have to count the cost. And when you serve God, it is going to cost you. Jesus was the Son of God, but it said he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So we see Jesus again weeping over the city. Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I Googled it, and one of the things that come up, and it says the way that we do that is by not obeying God and choosing to go our way. Well, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So it's kind of like, oh, and I had a friend, and, you know, things would happen in the church, and we would be real excited and say, you know, I just really sense that God's going to do this. I just really have a feeling that God's going to do this. And so we would talk and share and have been friends with her 40 years. And then when it all got over and through and done, it didn't work that way. Well, I'm just a housewife, a mother, which is one of the greatest things that you can do in this world. I have raised the next godly generation. And my son and daughter. So, but she went to college and whatever. And so she said, Nancy, if we could figure it out with our little finite minds, how little would our God be that we figured him out where he's infinite and he knows the beginning from the end. So we serve a mighty God. But we don't need to choose to go our own way because God says, my ways are best, my plans. And any of you that have children or grandchildren, it's like, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. And I said, that's why God gave you the mama, because mama knows, mama's older, wisdom and everything. And then in Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's kind of like, and I'm not picking on you, but you're just the youngest one I see in here. And you go to do something. Oh, I'm not going to pick on you. I'm going to use my daughter. My daughter is 37, and she's never been married. She's waiting on God to send that husband. He's been a little bit slow with it. But she went to Africa several times on mission trips, and she went to Honduras and Brazil, and she's been and done and went and whatever. But she's living in D.C. now. But it grieves her, Kelly. She's always had to do everything by herself. And she said, Mom, I'm tired of it. Well, she just recently went and bought a used car, but it was a newer car to her. And it was like, she never asked advice from me. She never asked advice from Daddy. And I thought, wow, what a major hurdle for her to go. And it was, you have to know Kylie, for her to take and do that. But the thing of it is, he said, sheep like that direction. They we need shepherds. We need leaders that, you know, but it's like here she had to go do that all by herself. And so that's how we grieve the Holy Spirit, is doing our own thing. And I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I'm just laying a foundation. And I thought, well, I'm a word person anyway. And without the word, you ain't got nothing. Matthew 18:8 says, when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? Because these were just some thoughts that I had. And then the Lord gave me all these scriptures. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now. That means right now, not tomorrow, not next week. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Lord, because I kept thinking, I want to throw this in this here. We are conditioned to look and to see. And that's why we don't have, Evelyn, because we're looking. And he says, and I apologize for not looking it up. It's either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, and I think it's 10, it's 4:18. And but anyway, the Lord says, do not look at what you see, look at what you cannot see. I thought, duh, yeah, that makes sense. Because what you see is temporal. It's going to pass away. But what you cannot see is eternal. So see, we're looking, and it's like, well, the news or your children or whatever, it looks really bad. Or maybe it just looks really good. But you know what? The good is covering up the bad. Because maybe it doesn't look as good as you think it does, because you don't know what's happened internally that you know. So he said, don't look at what you see. But we are a church of believers that look and we want to see. And then we get disappointed. And but he said, don't look at what you see. He said, look at what you cannot see. I think I turned two pages. I did. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Nancy just said out there a minute ago, she said, I'm not doing it for the reward. And we're not doing it for the reward. But who enjoys the reward? Who likes, and like she said, we're human, when you leave to say, oh, that was awesome. Well, I don't, and that my prayer is always, don't see me. I hope you hear Jesus. But that Jesus uses people. And that's why he's going to reward us. Because those that diligently seek him. And Numbers 23, God, I did jail ministry for a while. And I was on a roll, buddy. I was anointed. I was teaching and everything. And I said something. And this little girl said, ask a question about something, and I answered her, and I said, oh, no, God is not a man that he should lie. And she said, where's that at? And I wanted to say, go look it up. Can't you see I'm on a roll here? I'm teaching. I mean, yeah, I tell everything about myself. I don't care. And so it's Numbers 23:19. I went to my concordance and looked it up and found it right there in the room we were meeting in. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And I had to stop and put in parentheses in my notes. Repent, the church has a wrong picture of it. We will say, oh, Kelly, I'm so sorry I hurt your feelings. And we stop. Forgive me. We stop at forgiveness. Well, if I don't repent, I'm going to do it again. Because repent means change your thinking. And you turn. Because I can pick, okay, I'm mad at him. He hurt me. He did something. He wore the wrong color. Stupid stuff. You know, something really major could be. But I forgive you, Kelly. But you never turn from it. And then I have to change my mindset and say, okay, he can wear pink. He's a real man. He can say whatever. And then I turn and repent. Because in the Old Testament, they would pull their hair out. They would pluck their beards. They would rip their clothes. And we don't have to do that today. So we think we don't have to repent. And we think repenting is a dirty word. But it isn't. You've got to change your mindset. You've got to think like God thinks. I even heard someone say, it's like that repent, pent in there. It's like come up to a higher standard. Come up to the penthouse way of thinking. And I said, and I started not to say it last night, but I said no. Because I say a lot of things as a joke. But then I'll give you the punchline. I used to say all the time, well, they would say, Miss Nancy, how do you know that? And I said, I know everything. Oh, no, you do not. I said, yes, I really do. I know everything. Miss Nancy, you don't know everything. I said, well, the Word of God says that I have no need for a teacher to teach me, that I have an unction, the Holy Spirit, and I know all things. Oh, okay. You get it? I give him the Word of God. So Danny Stain wrote a book, and he said, I live in heaven and I work on earth. And I thought, wow, are we supposed to be doing that? Well, Ephesians chapter 1 or 2 says, we have been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are we at? We're right up there with the Father. And we can see what he's doing. And we can hear him. And we can bring it back to heaven. But if you're standing up there looking from his perspective, it changes everything that you're going through. And so, the reason I brought that out, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. God is not going to change his mind. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He has said, and will he not do it? So what has God been speaking to you? Let's flip back. What has God been stealing from, Satan been stealing from you? That's the thing. You've got to make your list, and you've got to see, and you've got to say, I'm tired of it. And God is not a man that he should lie. He said, I am healed. Will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? How many of you that know people that you know they live, their word is their bond? But yet, we don't believe God is. Because you know what? We'll watch the news. I'm from Georgia. It's a hot down here, and they said, we ain't going to have rain for a week or a month or whatever. And I said, we need rain. Oh, we ain't going to have no rain. It's not going to rain. And I said, Jesus said, peace, be still. And I pray, Lord, they've got this high pressure ridge. Would you make that a low pressure ridge so it comes down here that we get rain in the name of Jesus? We can pray. We have authority over it. Because it's been given to us. And then he said in Psalms 33:9, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Oh, years and years ago, God gave me this. And I said, through the power, he said light. He did not say, it's awful dark out there. He didn't comment on the dark. He didn't comment on the problem. He said light, and it was. And so he spoke, and then he said, sun, moon, stars, he placed them. He said, ocean, now we know we have tsunamis and storms, stay right there. The Atlantic Ocean, okay, we have Savannah, we have ocean, beach. But it ain't in my little part of the town. It's right there where God told it to stay, the moon and the stars. Now stop and think, the power of his word when he said, stay there. Son, do the way you're supposed to do. Because I think they said if it moves a degree, we either freeze or we burn up. And he isn't saying it. He doesn't get up today and say, son, stay there tomorrow. Son, stay there. You know, over and over and over. The power, stay. And it's command. It's done. Amen. It's done. So see, we have that power and we have that authority. And then in Esther 8:8, it says, write a decree as you please in the king's name. This is the king talking to Mordecai. This is after Haman has been hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. And so the king's telling him, he said, Mordecai, write down a decree, whatever you want, as you please, is what he's telling him. And seal it with this king's signet ring that I'm giving to you. Well, that's God's authority. That was the king's authority, was that signet ring, right? But Luke chapter 2 says, not Luke chapter 2, 9 and 10 both. He sent out the 12, and he said, I give you all authority and power. Go cast out demons and heal the sick. And then he sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10. So we've been given the authority of God to settle that. And so the king gives him his signet ring, and whatever is written in the king's name. Well, we know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, whatever's written in his name and sealed with this ring cannot be revoked. Whoa. Whoa. Is this written? Because Jesus said, it is written, when the devil came to steal from him. So it's written, and it can't be revoked. But now they're talking kings, right? Oh, well, that's okay. Revelations 1:6 says, we are kings and priests. Jesus has made us kings and priests, is what it really says, unto his Father, unto God and his Father. And Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, whatever things you ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So, see, I've laid all of this to show you who you are. You are a king. I'm a priest, because I was asked to do a funeral. It was crazy. And I thought, are they really going to be dead and buried if I do it? I'm not ordained. I'm just a mom and a grandma. And but then the Lord slowly started showing me. And when I went, I felt led to do communion. And I said to this former pastor, Baptist pastor, now he's just an evangelist, I said, can I do communion with them as a woman? Would that be? And he said, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to see if she's been baptized. If she hadn't been baptized, baptize her. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm worried about the funeral. And so I did the sons first, because the Lord spoke and told me to, because they didn't have a family. And they used F word like it was water. But the Lord wanted them to be ministered to. And then later on, and the man would always say, Papa would say, call Nancy. And so his wife was like 13 years younger than him. And so they would call and say, Mama had a stroke. And I went down there and I was like, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'd never knew if the son was saved or not. But I didn't preach him into heaven. I said, if Fred knows the Lord, he's going to go be with the Lord. And if we accept Jesus, we will see him. And my husband told me, he's very proud of me. And I don't normally get that kind of praise, because he doesn't go to church with me. He does now, but he didn't used to. And he said, you didn't try to preach Fred saved, which a lot of pastors try to do, because people, they don't know. And he said, but you let people know they needed to be saved or they wouldn't see Fred. And I got it. It was like a family setting at the funeral home in a room like this, not, you know. And I told him, I said, I don't hear a lot of love in this family, because they talk about each other and, you know, they just real hardcore mouthed that, you know. And they said, that's for sure. But I said, I see love. I saw love in that family. And then Peggy got cancer and they called me to come down. And the Lord just used me to minister to that family. And after I did Peggy's funeral, because I did her son's, and then I did Peggy's, and Papa come up to me and he said, you need to build a church. And he said, I'll come. I said, you better watch what you say. He said, build it and see. And he said, you know you're going to do my funeral. And I thought, oh, okay. And about 18 months later, I did. And when I did Neil's funeral, this is what I said. I was his pastor. I didn't know it until that then. But Neil looked, because he said, call Nancy. Call Nancy. And if you come up to me in a conversation, for the people that know me, someone was telling me that they had failed a test, a medical test and all this. And I said, I got something for you. Oh, they can't do anything and all this. And I said, I can fix it. Well, I never got to the part that I wanted to tell him, because the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I was giving him word, but sometimes... And that's what Chip Woodall had talked about. In Alaska, we make our disease an idol. Because sometimes, and especially as you get older, you identify with it. So it was like, wow. But I did communion, and one of the sons said, I thought only a priest could do that, because they were raised Catholic. And I prayed. I said, God, I don't want anybody to do it unworthily. I don't want to send anybody to hell over communion. But when he asked that, he was the only son I was really concerned about doing it. But one man wouldn't do it. Now, he was precious and sweet and had a heart for God. But he was in a very religious church, and he couldn't do it. But when this one asked, I said, I'm glad you asked that, because I'm a priest unto God. Because the Word of God says I am. Now, the church won't tell you that I am. I'm a woman. But I am a priest unto God. And so all of that to get to... The theme for this year was redemptive bondage. Well, what is redemptive? What is redemption? The act of saving someone from error, and I like that in there, Because it's in to know to do right and not do it is sin. But sometimes we really don't know because we haven't been told, and it's an error or evil. And so God is redeeming us from the bondage that we have been under. If we'll accept it, if we will realize who we are, what we have, what has been purchased to us, what has been given to us, and what we're supposed to take and go and do with it. Isaiah 43 says, "Forget the former things. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Can you not tell God's doing a new thing? He definitely, there isn't anybody in here that can't see. Because as old as I am, to see the government change as much as it has, that you know. But even Christians, if we will really, because some I read somewhere and said, God's draining the swamp with Donald Trump in the nation. But God is draining the swamp in the church at the same time. It's not Republicans and Democrats. It's Christians as well that God has taken and dealing with. And we need to open our eyes and say, oh, look at that. Look, no, Lord, search me to see if there be any wicked way. And search ourselves. Well, I'm going to start sharing my testimony now, and things that the Lord has been doing, because he said, forget the former things. Shall you not see the new that is springing forth now? Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. And I thought, wow, and I've never seen this before. Like you read a comment here and you read a comment there and everything. And the Lord was showing me some things about John the Baptist. And it says that he was a forerunner, Matthew 3, 1 through 3. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And it was like, oh, wow. John come and he said, repent. Change your thinking. You've thought according to the law, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now let's bring it up to today. He's saying, repent. Quit thinking box. Quit thinking church building. You are the church. Repent. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. And you know what it said in something I read? And this was the picture that I have. Here's this road. And it's got limbs and it's got stuff. And it's like, throw it out. And it's obstacles. Thank you, Lord. They're obstacles. They're hindrances. They're in the church. Because what is coming? Not the church. The kingdom of God is coming. And that's where God rules and reigns, that we have been set free from sickness, disease, control of the enemy. We have freedom. We are victors. We're not victims. And we come from victory. He said, but clear the road. And you go. And you start clearing all this debris. And how are you doing it? By sharing the word of God and telling you who you are and what you have. You're clearing the road. And he said, make ready the road because the Lord is coming. And I thought, whoa, God, isn't that exciting? I'm cleaning the road because the presence of the Lord is here. He's coming to you today. And he said, Nancy, I want to use you to bring the Lord into his presence. He's coming back for a church without spot or with wrinkle. Clean the way. Tell him. Repent. Change your thinking. And it isn't you sleeping with a mailman or stealing out of somebody's pocket. It's you sitting and letting Satan steal from you. And he's saying, no. He said, you've got to rise up. Make straight the path for the Lord. And then Matthew 11:11, it says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not one risen greater than John the Baptist. So I ask, who all's been born of a woman? Every one of us. There ain't nobody greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. that means we're greater than John the Baptist. And look what John did. But let me tell you just real quick. John came preaching. And he didn't come preaching a comfortable message. And I don't make people feel good either. That ain't my job. I'm going to give you truth. And I'm going to set you free. That's my hope. That's my desire. That's why God has given me an understanding of the word that I have to come and share that. But John come preaching. And I thought, because I said, I want to speak in love. I don't want to come and beat him over the head. But it really is a message of correction to say, repent. Know who you are. But I hope I'm doing it in love. Because John the Baptist come. And they listed Herod was king and Caiaphas was something else and somebody was something else. And I said, we need to know those names. Because when he got and he was talking to them and everything, they didn't like what he had to say. And he said, well, you need to watch it because you're sleeping with your brother's wife. Now, did I tell you count the cost? They threw him in prison. And they had this big party, orgy party, people have called it, but it was a party. And, you know, back then, opulence, the food, the drink. And it's like the king, real mouthy, says, well, I'll give you something. What do you want? And I think Herodias turned to her daughter and said, what do you want? I want John's head on a platter. And the king couldn't renege. It'd make him look stupid. And they got John's head on a platter because of who he was and what he was preaching. And they didn't like it. So I have realized, and Nancy said it, there's so much jealousy in the church. God has never allowed me to really get close to a leader. I have been in a very nice way, all but... They didn't say, Nancy, would you leave the church? All but. Yes. Because I have a 36-year history with the Baptist church. I was there 17 years. Hallelujah, the Lord let me leave. And I was at Assembly of God. But there was a bunch sent to that Assembly of God at that time to use their gifts. 17 years, and I was everything but the preacher and the deacon because they wouldn't let me do those things, but I did everything else because they saw the anointing. And you want to know why God put me in a Baptist church? I got saved in a Church of God in Kentucky, came home, went to a Congregational Holiness church, got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was way too wild for that Spirit-filled church. I said, God, there's got to be more because they could shout and they could holler and they could jump. Because, see, they had the fire, they had the wind, they had all that. But God said, I'm not in that. He wasn't in it in Elijah's day, and he wasn't in it in Acts. It's that still, small voice that says, go. Be this. Don't do. Be this to the people. And so God let me leave. The other church, he said, you went in. They didn't want the word at the Pentecostal church. He said, you give them the word, they reject it, shake the dust, and leave. And so 2 years I didn't go to church. I cussed like a sailor, and I wasn't raised in church, but I could cuss like a sailor. And so I got saved. I've been saved 46 years because next Tuesday is my 47th anniversary, and I got saved the year after I got married. And my life changed. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was an introvert in school. Nobody believes it. But I was. But I got the Holy Spirit, and that Pentecostal church did say, anybody got a testimony? Popcorn, popcorn. I had one, and two of my sisters married the pastor's sons, and one sister said, Nancy, they can't stand you here. And I will share this little story. I am a good steward of her money. I'm not cheap, but I love a bargain. Anybody can go pay full price, but I'm going to go through that clearance rack. And me and my sister-in-law did that at Belk yesterday. But I never used which I love to hang my clothes out on the clothesline, but I didn't use the dryer because the dryer made the electric bill go up. But then one day I realized I wasn't operating in faith in that, to not trust God, which we could afford it, but it was beside the point. And so I started using my dryer, and the next month my electric bill went down. All she wants is what she can get out of God, is what they said. I said, what? Then he sent me to a Baptist church. He put me in a Sunday school class. Here comes this woman with gray, kinky hair. See, I ain't got no permanent. And she sits down, and she's got fingernails that are long and polished. Evelina Mills. And she puts her finger here. She said, they have put the oldest woman in the youngest woman's class, and I don't know why. I looked at that woman. I said, dear God, I don't know why either. I was 31, and she was 81. 50 years older than me, she became my spiritual mother. She'd say, open your Bible, and she'd never look at it. She'd teach that lesson. And not knowing what an impartation was, I received an impartation from Evelina Mills to stand up and teach the Word of God. She was a bold woman. She'd come and stayed at my house. She had six kids, went into the nursing home. They wouldn't hardly have anything to do with her. And I said, Evelina, when your last breath here on this earth happens, they're going to miss you, because she was a praying woman. She was a mama, a grandma, a mama to me and a grandma. She'd stay in my house and she'd say, come on, Larry, we're going to do the Sunday school lesson. Now, she couldn't see. She's blind as a bat from cataract surgeries and different problems. And she'd say, Nancy, what's the lesson? And we'd sit there and discuss it. It was amazing. So anyway, I left, went to the Assemblies of God, realized my gifts. Lord sent me back. I didn't want to leave, but there was a new pastor. I stayed there. I had a word for someone. He wasn't even there. And the deacon goes and says, Nancy told us not to go to the doctor anymore. I didn't. I told this man, don't take the word of a doctor as your final report. The report of the Lord says you are healed. And so he said, well, I think you were out of order. But the Lord let me know. And I said, John, don't feel bad. You're just an instrument of God. It's time for me to leave. No. And friend said he wanted to control you. I will never sit in a church where I can't get up and do. And they had a prayer request for this little girl. My girl's Kylie. Her little girl was Kylie. And she's praising God. The heater broke. And the friends just give her about $300 to fix it. And it cost $65 to fix it. But our poor little Kylie got her call to come back to the hospital. They found something wrong with her heart. And I thought, holy moly, you don't think God don't care more about that kid's heart than that dryer or heater, whatever it was? And I'm on the second row. I don't want the distractions from behind me. And I look at John, and there's no time for ministry in most of your mainline Baptist churches, a lot of other churches. And Spirit-filled churches have left the Spirit out, so they don't operate in tongues and a lot of things either. So I'm not picking on a religion. It's people. And so I said, John, somebody needs to pray for Kylie, because it was me, Kylie's mother, and then Kylie. Yeah. And I used to say, well, I didn't have no more sense, but praise God I had enough boldness to get up and stand and slap my hand on that little girl's chest, and I said, Satan, how dare you come against a child of the living God? You get your hands off. I heard one little woman said, yes, amen, yes. And it was the Lord. I said, we come against you as a body of believers. And she went back to the doctor. There wasn't anything wrong with her. But I said, we have to be and do what God wants us to be and do. That, you know, and he says, because don't be conformed to this world. And how many of you have seen little Transformers? My little boy had a lot of them. He's 44. And it was this, and then it was that. Well, see, we've been this. What we are now, even today, as Christians, is sitting in a church. And God said, but don't be conformed to the world. And you know, the church is so conformed to the world that I had a pastor that said, there's this huge mirror, and that's the church. And we got a road in front of it, and I'm driving down the road, and a sinner will turn and say, and they ought to go, because they see their sinfulness. But they go and they say, oh, I look, and I can see myself in that mirror, and I look real good. That, you know, but he said, you can't be conformed, but what do you do? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But to begin with, it says, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and an acceptable God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I asked you, do you know your rights as a child of God? Went to this church, Baptist church. Oh, I was there 37 years, four pastors. And it was like, God, I don't want to go back. And they didn't want me back. And this man that I went to a meeting once a month, he said, Nancy, do you know why God sent you back? I said, no, to be a light, not to fix them, to be a light. So anyway, one of the young girls, and she was 18 months old when I knew her, had her house broke into. And somebody had made the statement that Amanda was just afraid to, you know, after it was all over and everything, to be in that house. And so I thought, wow, I'm going to call Amanda because she knows me. I texted her because young people text, old people call. And I want to hear your voice. But I'm not old. The Lord has restored my youth. I'm younger than I've ever been. And I said, Amanda, I said, take and clean your house, of any foul and tormenting spirits that were attached from the break-in, and because it brings in trauma, and anoint your thing, your doorpost and windows or whatever, and that's like they did in the wilderness, you know, representing them, trying to explain everything. And so she said, okay, and I said, if you need anything, call me. So she texted me, Miss Nancy, I don't really understand what you're talking about. Now, she's grown and married, and had her parents were leaders, still are in this church, and she was. And she said, can you come help me? Well, sure. So I go down there, and she had been exercising and been to the gym, and she's kind of standing like this. She opened the door and said, come in, Miss Nancy. And I said, hey, but I have a real good friend that I guess she was more comfortable with her because she's known me, and her sister's 2 years older, and she was Kylie's best friend. And Amanda called Henrietta, because Henrietta called me and told me. And Amanda said, Henrietta, will you come here? Miss Nancy's coming to my house to pray, and I don't know what she's going to do. Holy moly. What's your name?
Rachel.
If I gone told you I was going to come pray in your house, what do you think I'm going to do? And she, but you don't know me. She knows me. You could think that. I'd understand it with me. And so I went down there. She's standing like this, and I said, Amanda, do you know your rights as a child of God? Your inheritance? No, not really. I said, okay. I said, you and Penny are the only two children. And I said, when your mom and dad die, you all have everything. She said, yeah. I said, well, Jesus is our elder brother. God's the Father. Everything that he give to Jesus, he give us. We're co-heirs. We already have it. Oh, and believe it or not, I could get my leg up. And I said, I hit her in the hip, and I kind of, not hard, and I'm just knocking her around. I said, Satan's beating the crap out of you because you don't know who you are and what you've got. And that's what he's doing to us today. We're no different than that young girl is. And so anyway, Nancy asked the Lord, the Lord asked Nancy, how long will America tolerate what's going on? How long are we going to tolerate what is going on? Because God has given us information. I'm giving you information today. God speaks to you. You've got the word, and you've got information. And it ain't no more than the newspaper, honey, if you don't get revelation. And the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken it and make it come alive and know that I've got this information, and now God's given me revelation, and now it's transformation. Amen. And I am not who I used to be. I am a new creature in Christ, a new creation, not a creature, creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. And I get so angry when nobody finishes that scripture. And all things are of God. That's who we are. All the old is gone. But I said, I used to be Nancy, but now I am, in capital letters. God's given me a new name, Revelations 2:1. He said, I'll write it on a white stone and give you a new name. We had a lady come to a glow, and she said, she was a prayer coordinator for the whole state. She had these rocks, and she said, has God given you a new name? Well, Kelly, if he hasn't, then you ask God what your new name is, because he didn't give me one. And so, but she said, don't worry. When you come up and say, okay, Rachel, has God given you a new name? And you say, no, because my friend had a new name. And she said, okay, we're just going to pray, and we're going to ask Holy Spirit to show you. So Judy said, Holy Spirit, show Nancy her new name. And we waited just a few minutes, and she said, have you heard anything? She said, well, God gave me a name for you. Boundless. Boundless. I still have my rock. Kylie's name is Yah. He's given part of his name to her. Debbie knows Kylie. And so it's like, wow, okay, this time, last year I think it was, I went to the 50th anniversary of the GLOW International meeting, and Paul Wilbur is doing the praise and worship, and we're worshiping, and he said, shh, shh, everybody just be real quiet. Well, I sit down, and he said, God wants to speak to you. I bowed my head. I said, God speak, for your servant is listening. And he took me back to that meeting when I got my new name. Now, this is hilarious because guess what the title of the meeting was? On a banner as big as that wall, on the little book they give us, and I'm standing there, and there's Jamie's little thing. She pushes her walker thing, and it's boundless. Nothing, Kelly. Don't hear, see anything. And it's kind of like, oh, wow. And do you know what boundless means? Vast. Limitless. So it's like, oh, wow. So now I want to go back and start sharing some things. And somebody will have to tell me, get quick and cut it off. But in 1991, I was diagnosed with cancer. I was 41 years old. I lost my right kidney. Thank God it was all in the kidney. They took the kidney out and I was cured. But I prayed. I have always been able, people think, to walk on the water. And I have always been a woman of faith after since I got saved and believed the word of God. And I used to pray heaven down. And it was like, oh, it was such a powerful prayer. And I've lost some of that. I will admit that I've allowed it to be stolen. Because I'll confess my sin. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. Oh, God, don't let it be cancer. Don't let it be cancer. I won't ever have to worry again. But that wasn't true. Do you know what I was saying? I won't ever have to trust God. Really? And wasn't that what I was saying? God, if it's not cancer, then I don't have to worry about it. I don't really have to trust you with it. My life was going good. I was a mommy of a 9-year-old. I have a son 7 years older than her. And my husband is a good man, and Nancy has met him. And he's beginning to come around now. And he's been in church a lot and heard the word, but he's not operating in it. He's not walking in it. And I thought, oh, God, my son was like, I think he was in the 10th grade. So he was grown. But who's going to raise Kylie? And so, okay. But I'm cured. And I'm cured for 20, I'm healed. But because the doctor come in with a passport, and he said, well, she had Hodgkin's. He gave me his home number. It was just really a as good as it could be, amazing time with having the doctor. And so he come in with the path report, and he said, Miss Robinette, because he said, I'm going to push you through this hospital like it's the worst thing ever. And it was a good thing he did, because it was approaching my wall, but it was all contained. And he said, but it was cancer. And I don't know how I looked. And he said, Miss Robinette, you look depressed or something. I said, I was really praying and believing that I was healed. He said, you are. We took the cancer out, and you can operate with one kidney just fine. So it was like 1991. This is 2018. So it's like, okay, praise God. Well, my life is good, that I'm in church. I'm doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing. And have been speaking since then. I went 8 years ago to Alaska, and I had spoken in Augusta and everything. Well, August the 4th, 2014, I got a phone call. And they said, Miss Robinette? I said, yes. They said, you had a doctor's appointment, Evelyn, in June 2013. So what? This is 2014. And they said, you were supposed to follow up and you didn't. And I didn't see my primary care doctor. I remember that. And I saw a man doctor because I had a chest x-ray and they didn't even take bra off. I had to do it over. So I remember that. But I thought it went for something for my stomach. But anyway, they did a chest x-ray. They said, you want to follow up now? And I had a checkup every year. And I said, sure, I'll go ahead. We'll have a checkup. And so they said, okay. And I have an Indian doctor I'd had about 10 years. Godly woman, praying woman. I loved her. And but I was getting ready to turn 65 the next year, and I was going to lose her because you go to old people's doctor, I guess. I don't know. And so when I went in, she said, Miss Robinette, they found something on your lungs. And so we're going to do an x-ray, and if we see it, we're going to do a CT scan. And so we'll go from there. So guess what? There was something on my lungs. So they did the CT scan. Then I'm bumped up to pulmonary, and they go in. And I wash dishes and change diapers. I don't read these things that show all this stuff. But he said, see this, Miss Robinette? And it was red, blue, and all different colors. I have two spots on one, two spots on the other. And I said, okay. And so he said, we're going to do a bronch. They go down through your nose, and he brushed my lung, and he took a biopsy. And I'm surprised, but I'm not pulling my hair out or screaming or anything because I am healed by Jesus' stripes. And I don't remember the exact time because dates and numbers became very prevalent, very flashing lights. And so the Lord gave me Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness for a time of testing. And I said, okay, so I go back and they do the, well, he didn't send the give the results as quick as he could have. And I told Kylie, they're scratching their head and they're wondering what's going on because they can't find anything. And that's because I said, I am a sign and a wonder. And that's exactly what happened. Rachel, they couldn't find anything. But I got a call and they said, come back out. And so they said, Miss Ronette, we're going to do a PET scan just for the heck of it. I go to a military hospital. Didn't cost me a penny. My husband lost a leg at 20 in Vietnam. He has paid for our medical. So I said, okay, if that's what you want to do. But I said, and I told him, you're not going to find anything. I'm going to test. And so they didn't find anything. So he calls me back. He said, Miss Robinette, the easiest thing to do is do another bronch because pathology doesn't think they got a big enough piece and we have to order another tool, but we'll order a bigger tool. And they had to get 20 because they only sold them in lots of 20. So he said, we'll do another one. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'm just in a test. And so they did the bronch. They didn't find anything. And I said, okay, by then we're in September, maybe the 1st of October. I don't know. And so he said, well, the only other thing to do is a needle biopsy. So they went through my chest. They did a needle biopsy. Wednesday was the 24th of October, right? 4 years I was diagnosed with cancer. The renal cell, I don't have lung cancer. I have kidney cancer in my lungs. Renal cell had metastasized. After 23 years, I was shocked. I said, oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. And so, and I wasn't screaming and pulling my hair out because I said, okay. And but I had a sister that had 4 major cancers, 17 years, died at 49. My mom was 80, about 79, I think, when she was diagnosed with lymphoma. 1 chemo treatment, total organ failure. This chick ain't doing chemo. No way. So the next morning, Saturday, that was a Friday, Saturday I got up and I was crying and I was thinking, Lord, what have I done? I always take, because rejection's been a big thing with pastors, family, and whatever. What have I done wrong? And the Lord said, go get your notes on the potter and the clay. I had heard in 2000, just a 15-minute devotion. In 2002, I was asked to speak at a GLOW meeting and that was the message he wanted me to share. Awesome teaching with all the stuff that goes through the clay, the dirt, the us. And I kind of sort of had a feeling where he was taking me. And he told me, he said, I'm putting you in the fiery furnace. And I said, okay. But Tim, I'm not afraid of dying. Because next January, do I look like I do chemo every Monday? For 3-4, it'll be 4 years in January. I look like $1 million, don't I, honey? Because have you seen cancer patients and how they look? It's sad. My sister, well, when January come, I stayed up late, watched a movie, and at 2:00 I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I said, it's the first of the year. I'm going to be real holy and spiritual, and I want to read my Bible for the new year. And I'm looking in this little tablet, and I need some clear paper. And all of a sudden, something jumps out, and it says, July 29th. I don't know what year it was. And it says, peace comes before power. Rest comes before ruling. How can you defeat your enemies if you can't surrender to me? Kelly, I hit my knees, just crying. If you want me to do chemo, I'll do chemo. So I was to speak at Nancy Haney's conference in 2015, and my title was Faith. And, oh, I was supposed to see my doctor in December, the oncologist, and I didn't, but I saw her the 15th of January. And see, the Lord gave me 8:8 in Esther. He gave me the Esther 9, and so Esther comes to the king on the 13th, and he says, or he comes to her, I don't remember, and he says, Esther, what do you want? She said, I want the Jews to be able to go and kill every one of their enemies. So on the 13th, he said, send them. And so then the next day, he says, what do you want? He says, oh, I want on the 14th, I want them to go finish the job. Send them. On the 15th, I look up, they had a big celebration because they killed all their enemy. I went and I Googled numbers in the scriptures. Do you know what 15 means? a celebration after a great victory. So I'm going to see my doctor on the 15th. Well, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have a CT scan, and it's going to be clear. Well, I had the CT scan, and I had to go back on the 22nd, I think it was, Debbie, which was Wednesday. We had to go down, and that was when I met their wife, Mary Beth, Dee Jones, and Sabra Polly, come and stayed at my home. But I had to go to my doctor appointment first for him to tell me I didn't have cancer, that my CT scan was clean. But it wasn't. I went, and I came home with this little bag of chemo pills. So angry. Was so mad. I'm speaking on faith. But his ways aren't our ways. And so I started doing chemo. Oh, but I was allergic to it, and I had all kinds of stuff, and it was a chemical burn from the inside. I had Stevens-Johnson, and my doctor said, oh, God, you're so lucky. You run out of medicine. They had to put me on infusion. And I said, they will have to put me to sleep to get me in there, but they didn't. And I had a chemo treatment, and I stood up, and I said, oh, that wasn't too bad. And I survived it. But let's go back to Esther 8:8. I was in a meeting, and this man said, Nancy, you're a woman of authority, and I see a ring dropping down. God's give you a signet ring. Well, I forgot I had it in the spirit. But then the Lord spoke to me and reminded me, really the next year, I was getting ready to have surgery, and nothing to do with the cancer. I said, Lord, I lifted my hand and I wrote out, because I had all these, my hair thinned real bad at the beginning of the chemo, and because it could affect my hair, my skin, and my gut. And I lost about 20 pounds. And then all of a sudden, because when I was allergic to the first chemo, I couldn't take it. So I was off of it 2 months before they started the infusion. April the 1st, they started the infusion. But I am proud to say I was in Alaska the 22nd for a meeting of April. 3 weeks after chemo. I went up on Wednesday, came home on Monday, went and had my blood drawn on Monday so I could have chemo on Tuesday. When I realized I had the signet ring, it's like, oh, wow. So write out that decree. What do you want? Well, here I got these 3 pages of side effects. My hair will not thin. I will not have mouth sores. My gut will not be affected. I will not whatever. And I stamped it with my fist. I didn't have a ring in the natural, but I had it in the spirit. And so, but all of a sudden, I went from 250 pounds to 170. And I'm getting weaker and weaker. And we were talking in the chemo room, and the nurse said, but Miss Robinette, your weight loss is not from chemo. Well, what's it from? Well, what happened, and I've never been sick from chemo, but I had chemo and came home one day and had a bellyache. Went to the hospital on a Tuesday, wound up in the hospital on Thursday. My small intestines went and filled that void where my kidney was. So I had surgery. And he was going to do it laparoscopically, but then he had to cut me because they were twisted and tied. Nothing was going in. Nothing was hardly coming out. I was sicker than I've ever been. 14 days. Little girl I met at this meeting when I got my signet ring. David McDonald was the pastor or the speaker. And Lilia said, are you coming to this meeting? And I said, no. And she said, I'm in the hospital. She said, can I come see you? And she's got this big grin, and she's just always happy and smiling. And she's sitting there, and she said, oh, Miss Nancy, I just see Jesus dancing around you, and he's loving on you. And, oh, right now he's laying his head on your chest. And I am so, because they had an NG tube for 7 days, because that was going to cure the blockage, but it didn't. They took it out. I threw up. The NG tube went back in, and on that next Friday, I had surgery. I was there for 14 days. But Lily had come on that Saturday after the surgery, and she said, the Lord said to tell you, this surgery is pivotal to your healing. And the second time I told someone, I saw my foot go like that, and I had on a dress shoe. Guess what? I had my hair thinned. It is so thick. I have no mouth sores. Once in a blue moon, there will be a thing here, a little bump on my face or whatever. And so then the Lord started, because like I said, I am a teacher in the Word of God. And so the Lord gave me a message, and he said, you are the light of the world. Who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel? But he said, put it on a candlestick and put it way up here so that your Father, your good works may be seen. And I said, I get to toot my horn that your Father in heaven is glorified. And I've had people come up and ask me, because I sure don't weigh 170 now. I wish I did. But I'm below 200 by 1 or 2 pounds. And they said, they'll kind of look at me and say, Miss Robinette, do you do chemo? Yes, I do. I'm here to be a light. What's your name? Rachel? Rachel, let me tell you what I do. I stand on the word of God. Mark 16 says, I can take any deadly thing and it will not harm me. God says he has defeated my enemies and he will not allow them to triumph over me. And it just goes like popcorn. But then all of a sudden something happened. I don't know, you know, when it happened. Because on the back of my leg was a little bitty, I can't feel it, it's in the muscle. But there was a little spot, and my doctor would, because I had to have a CT scan every 3 months. And so it's like right here somewhere. And he said, Miss Robinette, can I touch your leg? Because he does my lymph glands, and he always, you know, a list of questions and whatever. And I asked him, why do I have to see you all the time? I'm fine, you know. And he said, well, I have to ask you questions. And so it's like, okay. And but they found this spot, and it was little. And he said, there's a good blood flow going through it, but we don't know what it is. He said, we're going to keep an eye on it. So 3 months later, they do another one, and it's there, and it hadn't changed. And so by then, he's moved my CT scans to 4 months because I'm doing so good. But it grew from 2 point something to 3 point something. And I'm a housewife and a mother. Centimeters or millimeters, I don't know the difference. Someone said, well, Nancy, that's a lot of difference. Well, but that's their worry. That's not mine. So I go, and I have, then he said, let's do an MRI, because it had gotten so big. And so, okay, and that may have been February. And so March I go in, and sometime in March, and he said, well, Miss Robinette, I've already, his neighbor is at Fort Gordon, and he's an oncology surgeon, and it is consistent with the looks of it to renal cell. I thought, no way. So I said, okay, and he said, we could do surgery, but it would probably take a month to get you into surgery, or we can keep an eye on it. What do you want to do? I said, well, I don't have time for surgery. I'm going to Alaska, which was just this past April. So me and Marchie packed up and we came to Alaska. And I'll throw this in just for fun. Tim, we rented a car and it had brand new, 9 miles on it. And they told me unlimited mileage. And I said, Marchie, does unlimited mean unlimited? Well, you know, and Marchie said, nope, God's in control of everything. Because I had some little fears that arose because Kylie always does everything for me. And she wasn't doing anything for me right then. And so Margie is really, she grabs my pocketbook. She grabs my stuff. Rose says she's my armor bearer. And I almost don't like that word, but she is. But I'm her mentor. And she just is soaking it up. God has put us together. And so when we turned that car in, 550 miles almost. Did we have fun in Alaska? We went 2 days early and stayed 2 days late. But let's get back to this little spot. And so, because see, renewing your mind, his ways are different than our ways. So we did the MRI, and my husband doesn't go in the hospital with me. He can't handle it. We don't discuss it. We never have, because I really have done this with the Lord. My daughter came home. She did not want to. God moved her back home, and she was there for a year. And she said, Mom, I don't want to be here. But this man, we'd go to a meeting. He said, Kylie, God said to tell you that you, it's so important that you be here. She got that in April. She got that in May. She got that in June. And she said, Mama, why? I don't know. And then August the 4th come with a telephone call. Because she was 9 before. And my son and my husband flew and went their way. They couldn't handle it. And Kylie took on me that she had to fix me. Well, she's been delivered from that because when she came home and I was diagnosed and she was there for the surgery and everything, but she said, you will step up to the plate. I won't step in your place this time, Dad. And so I don't know how well he stepped up to it, but the thing of it is, we need to look to God, not man anyway. And my maker is my husband. This may sound cruel, and I've been married 47 years, so we're doing something right. Larry's the man I married. God is my maker is my husband. And so he comes into the doctor, and he's never met my doctor on that appointment because he remembered about the MRI. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to Alaska. So the next time, maybe it was the next time after that, because he said, how'd your tests go? I said, not good. They think it might be cancer. So the next time when they got the results back, the next CT scan, because we were going to watch it, and it was after I'd come back from Alaska, and they did another CT scan, and Dr. Delma said, well, Miss Robinette, he said, your lungs are okay. And I was so disappointed because I knew in Alaska that, and I am healed today. I don't have to see a clear CT scan. They do, so I can quit the chemo and get a passport and go and be a mover and a shaker and a doer for God, and not just here in the United States. Go to the nations. And he said, I know you were expecting a bad report. And I thought, oh, no, I wasn't. I'm expecting it to be clean. And he already said my lungs weren't clear. But that spot went down a third. So this is the gist of being in bondage. I hit rock bottom. Evelyn, that was not the report that I wanted. That was not the report that I had my mind set on. And I told Kylie, she said, Mom, do you know how many millions of people would be ecstatic with that? And I said, I know. Don't beat me up anymore. But it's like, God, how long? And I just can't tell you. Debbie, I was the worst I've ever been because I haven't been bad before. It's like, I'm healed. I know I'm healed, but I was just so tired, I guess, and whatever. Because this past summer was a hard summer. Even a couple, I think maybe starting with that. And so we started going to my sister's church, Margie and my brother and me and my husband. And my sister's very prophetic. And after we left, she went to her daughter and she said, Tracy, did you see Aunt KK? She's give up. She said, she's down. She's ready to quit. And because I would go and I'd say, God, don't let him ask me to pray. Because I speak sometimes over there and I said, don't let him ask me to pray. I don't have anything to pray. You know, it's just, I quit. And so then Tracy said, oh, I saw it. And I just thought, but then I went to, we have a praise and worship meeting that we go to, and it's a love feast is what Anna calls it. And Anna got up and she starts speaking, and God is just speaking to me. And she said, you know, sometimes how you get in your mind that this is going to go a certain way and this is going to happen and it doesn't happen and you're just devastated. She said, you've got the wrong mindset and you've got to change it. So see, God will let us wallow a little bit. I think the stronger you are, the less he lets you waller. So you pull those boots up. Put on your big girl panties and say, okay, God. But it didn't happen overnight, Tim. It was just really rough. And I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. And when I would tell people, I would say, the Lord give me Luke chapter 7, chapter 4. And it's like, do you think I'd give you cancer? It's not scriptural. I even had one woman that was really praying for me. And she said, Nancy, I really want you to pray about quitting chemo. It wasn't my choice. This wasn't the journey I picked. Tim didn't pick his journey, but we've embraced where we're at. And when you embrace it, so I'm in the bathtub, and I always take my phone, and I take reading material, which I can read on my phone now. And my sister texted me. She has a mark on her teeth. She said, Nancy, can you speak? And it happened to be Father's Day. And I thought, I don't even want you to ask me to pray. How am I going to get up and speak? And I'd been thinking that week, what kind of father are you? What kind of father do you think you are? And so it was Father's Day, and Buddy, I just read the text, and she said, let me know, and I told her I'd pray about it and let her know. It started popping. Eli, terrible father. David, terrible father. Somebody else was a terrible father, too. Can't remember who he was. But Abraham was an obedient father because he was willing to sacrifice his son. And I'm up there, and Buddy, it was a powerful message. It was just powerful because if you haven't given your children, oh, thank you, Lord, Jacob, a father's blessing. They feel like they're orphans, that they don't have, they're, you know, and even most fathers, even my age, don't know that they should give a father's blessing, that, you know, and so it went like that and everything. And you know what the Lord showed me? David was a mighty man of God, and I chose him, and I used him, even though he failed, Evelyn, even though Eli, God chose him to be priest, and he knew Samuel was going to sit under him when he chose him. So I said, oh God, you can use me. So it was like, wow. But in 2016, Renee Smith is at our church, and she said, Nancy, God's going to take you to the mountain. Oh, I don't want a mountain. He'll tell you. And that was it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't search into it. I didn't press into it. Didn't do anything. Okay. November the 1st, I get a telephone call of 2017. Rose Stransky. The Lord woke her up in the middle of the night. She used to be all the coordinating for food and housing and things for Nancy's ministry. And the Lord woke her up and said, Rose, listen to Bobby Connor at Moravian Falls on YouTube. And she did, and she said, Nancy, I went back to sleep, because she has scleroderma and a lot of pain and whatever. She woke up at 7:30, and the Lord said, call Nancy and tell her watch it. And so I watched it, and it was in about, he had an encounter with God at Moravian Falls, North Carolina. They have Prayer Mountain up there. And I said, wow, that's a second word. So, but she said, you go alone and you pray. And I prayed, okay, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm hyped. After, I love Bobby Connor anyway. He's been to Augusta before. And so it's kind of like, okay, Lord, when do you want me to go? And I have to go by myself. And my dear little Margie says, I'll go with you, Nancy. I said, Margie, I think I have to go by myself. Now, this is November. I'm hyped up. 2017, I'm ready to go. I never got a date. So it's kind of like, okay, I ain't worried about it. November the 28th, 2018, just a couple of months, you know, I'm at a GLOW meeting. This woman is from North Georgia, and she's teaching and sharing, and had a few testimonies, and I testified about going and working with the girls. And let me stop. Sometimes I don't finish things. When I was given that scripture, God is not a man that he should lie, and that little girl interrupted me, and I went and looked it up. It wasn't for her. It was during my time of testing. And the Lord wanted me to know he was not a man that he should lie. So, okay, I do that sometimes, and but it's all right. I did remember. And so she said, I want to talk to you. So we testified about a GLOW. And then she said, I want to talk to you about Moses for a little bit, who went to the mountain with God by himself. Uh-oh. Maybe it's time to go to the mountain. She got through. Her name was Carolyn Williams, and she's from North Georgia. Carolyn Snyder's local, and she says to the president, can I share something, Sally? She said, on the Jewish calendar, at this time, Moses is on the mountain with God. I said, okay, God, time to go to the mountain. So I go up to Carolyn, and I said, Carolyn Williams had spoke. God's given me three words, and I'm going to the mountain. And I just cried and cried. And she said, oh, Nancy, I just love you. And I went to Carolyn Snyder, and I said, Carolyn, thank you for sharing that. She said, oh, I can't wait till you come back. You're going to glow. And so I tried to get up, and I was looking cheap, and Lord didn't want me to do cheap. And I'd gotten emails and addresses and numbers. I couldn't get through to nothing. And I Labor Day, okay, God, I quit. You put me where you want me. And I got through with the number that I had, which I was looking for $65 that somebody else had used, but I had to pay $110. You want to know why? Because he sent me. And I got through with this room, and it's beautiful. It's just covered in woods, and you really think you're 50, 100 miles off the road, but you're not. And right out my little window were the Moravian Falls. Because you want to know why? Do you hear me today? I am boundless. I am a mighty woman of God. Debbie said in my first class and my second class, and my third class was in Ohio, some little preacher and his wife. But anyway, and I went up to Debbie because I didn't say anything beforehand, but I wanted to say, Debbie, if you ever sit in my class, you sit in this class. And I didn't, but she did. And she went afterwards. She said, Nancy, that was powerful. And I said, I wanted to tell you, be in there. And she was. And but guess what? I'm a mouth to the body of Christ. And I have fought that because I'll talk and my daughter will say, shut up, Mom. They don't want to hear you. Shut up. They don't want to hear you. And Jean teases me about the cat all the time. And John Long used to be with the Praise and Worship. And we were in Georgia and we were eating. And I was telling them, and my family, they don't understand me. I am the judgment of God to them I just realized that. And I said, because I told my cousin, well, they don't like me. And she said, yes, they do. But it's they don't understand me. And so they do reject me. I'm from a family of eight. And there's jealousy with my sister who's a pastor because she doesn't understand me. The anointing. And she's the one that put me in the pulpit for the first time. And she told her son, this must have been about 20 years ago. She said, Nancy has an anointing and she doesn't even know it. I just get up and share what God gives me. But after that, before that time, what happened with the leg? I was praying. Buddy, I'd go in that hospital and someone would say something. And they said, how long have you done chemo? And so many years. Well, this is your first time. And I said, can I pray for you? And I pull fear off. And I said, you're in a test, but buddy, you're going to have a testimony when you get through it. That, you know, but, and I just noticed, now this is what I said, I don't have a liberty to pray for anybody. It's just not there. And so I go to the mountain. And I'd already been told, too, that you're going to have an encounter with God. Jesus, he's going to be sitting in the chair looking right at you. And so I'm scared. And for people that know me, I'm not a scaredy cat. My daughter lived the first time in D.C., and that's probably been 6 or 7 years ago. I went to see her 10 times in 3 years, drove that 9 hours by. I said, I'm going to see Kylie. You want to go, honey? No. And I just got in that. So, you know, I can get up and go. I'm not afraid. But, buddy, I was afraid to go to the mountain. Oh, what if Jesus really shows up? And you know, the thing of it is worrying about being unworthy. What would I do? And someone said, Nancy, you'd fall at his feet. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to have a heart attack or something. Because when I laid in the bed, it was like a single wide trailer, but it was such a holy, godly place. But I could look and see the front door. And I thought, I need to turn and lay this way because I don't need to be seeing anybody coming in my door. And so anyway, but when I went, let me tell you, the leader, Anna Phillips, of my praise and worship, I told her, I said, I'm not going to be here. I was there Wednesday. I was leaving Thursday and going to be gone Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, oh, the Holy Spirit fell all over her. And she said, Nancy, you go. She said, you don't take anybody with you because Margie said again, we can get 2 rooms. I won't bother you. I said, Margie, you can't go. And she said, but you go. You put that phone up, no distractions, because Jesus is sitting there waiting for you to come. And he's going to open your life book and he's going to show you what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. And so I said, okay. So, and Rose said, anoint your eyes so you see angels, because it is, so many people that Rick Joyner with Mountain of Worship, they've got land up there, and it was given. Bob Jones got a word and somebody else did, and they give all that land to Rick Joyner, and he's got houses and land to prophets. It really is a godly place. And so I go, and that's when the Lord starts pouring out about John the Baptist. My husband has an artificial leg, and it's cut off up here, so he lost it at 20, and he just turned 70. And I said, whew, I was up there praying on Friday, and the Lord says, I just felt in my spirit, I don't want to say God told me, but he's getting a new leg because they don't make his leg anymore. He's fighting it tooth and toenail. He don't want an old pole leg, which is a titanium pole. And I think he's worried about his britches flopping or something. It's like, but I'm up there praying, and the Lord, I just felt in my spirit, he said, I'm going to give him a new leg, and it's going to be with new technology, and he's going to walk better than he ever walked before, Debbie, and it's going to be in a new way. And I said, oh, it's his year of Jubilee, because it's been 50 years. Well, it won't be 50 years until next year. And then I'm praying for the government, and the Lord said, I remembered, I said, oh God, raise up Mordecai's and put them in strategic places that they can stop these plots that are coming against Kavanaugh and the president and everything. And the next week at a glow, the Lord said, you're Mordecai. Pray in the spirit and ask God to show you what's taking place, and then go and you pray and you speak it out. And it's kind of like, wow. But Friday night, I'm writing in my journal because I'm leaving Saturday morning, and I'd been to the mountain, and I didn't see God, and I kept saying I didn't hear God, and he didn't say anything. And so I said, God, I don't think what was supposed to happen happened here. And I said, I'm not going back to the mountain tonight, because I got turned around coming back during the day. But I said, when I leave, I'm going in the morning. And so he said, okay. Well, he didn't say okay. That's just what I told him. And because I'm out of my element. I'm out of my comfort zone. I don't know what he's going to do with me. But that first night was pure hell. He put me by the falls, and I would go sit on that little screened-in porch. And I mean, it was not far at all. It was really close. He sent me to Moravian Falls for an encounter. And so I think it was Friday, I said, Lord, I know why you sent me here. Because a man had prayed and he said, out of your belly are going to flow rivers of living water. And I said, I've dried up. And so I went to bed that night and I dreamed all night and I just fought. And I woke up at 2:22 and woke up at 3:37 and it was just, and I'm thinking, oh God, I've got to rest. But I'm preaching. The whole time I'm preaching. And I was anointing my brother and put my prayer shawl over him for him to receive the Holy Ghost. I was pulling trauma off of my nephew that's almost 50 years old, that his dad died when he was 2 and a half, and he'd never had the trauma pulled off. I had a word for this one, and I just thought, oh my gosh. And so I go to the mountain the next morning, because I'm leaving, and it's 7 o'clock. And foggy as it could be, dew everywhere, because you go up this little bitty mountain and they've got 3 or 4 chairs here and a bench here and 3 or 4 chairs. So you can go as a group or you can go as 1 or 2 people. And like I said, Friday I wrote, God, I haven't encountered you, whatever's happened. But the thing of it is, I have a notebook full of stuff where he was speaking to me, and I preached a message that night. I got up and wrote it, and I delivered it October the 14th, which was a couple of weeks ago. But so I go up on the cloud, and it's cloudy, and it's foggy, and it's dewy, and whatever. And so I had to take my Kleenex and wipe the chair off, and I sit in the chair, and I start crying. I said, oh God, I feel your presence. I know you're here. I feel your presence. And so I'm going to do what religious people do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing a song. God is so good. I don't know. I'm not a singer. I love music, and it speaks to me. And then all of a sudden, something came to me, to my mind. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. I said, well, God, there's no roses here. But I had my phone. I'm so good with that phone. I got YouTube, and I come to the garden alone. And I'm going to read, because it was an instrumental, but I'm going to read the words. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll stay in the garden with him through the night, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And the chorus again. And I cried, and I cried. And I said, oh God, you brought me to the mountain just to sit and tarry with me. I don't have to sing. I don't have to pray. I don't have to perform. I just have to be, not do. Amen. And I said, oh, it was life-changing. And so I spoke at my sister's church, and it was powerful. And I'd already been asked to speak here. And it was like, oh, gosh. And another lady asked me to help with her ministry while she was praying for people and to be behind them. And it was like that, because God said, I'm opening doors, I'm opening doors. But see, I had to get over my mindset and my myself for that bondage to be broken off of me. And then let me, because I told you, see, no liberty. I'll bet I haven't prayed for anybody at the hospital other than this one lady I know. I run into Janet everywhere, and she says, oh, Nancy, and I don't know her last name, but I pray for her. And so I do it every Monday. So not this past Monday, but the Monday before, there's an Asian lady going to have her first treatment. And woe is me. I can't do this. And they, what if I do this? And, you know, all these, which is normal. You know, they give you the list of all the stuff that they know is going to happen to you. But you can't imagine the stuff that comes to your mind from the enemy. And so, but this lady is praying for her. But she's real low. And so this woman is still going on, woe is me. And I just said, excuse me. I said, I've been taking chemo for almost 4 years, and I've never been sick one time. I said, can I pray for you? And her husband was here. She was there. And she said, yeah. So I walked by him, and I reached my hand out, and I grabbed his leg, and I squeezed it. Because I said, the enemy is coming. Can I touch you? When trauma happens, it opens a door for the demonic. And I said, this was a traumatic to be told you had cancer. And the enemy is just squeezing your mind and telling you all this stuff. So I'm going to unbuckle that belt of trauma and pull it off of you and cast it at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, send it to a dry place that it never returns. And then I started life and wholeness and scriptures in Jesus' name. And it didn't happen until I went home. Nancy, I couldn't remember the last time I prayed for someone. I had gotten so dry. But he broke that bondage. And now, watch out. I've always been a mouth, Evelyn. I've always been a mouth. But where God gave me a word. And he said, Nancy, God's getting ready to take the top off you. And they make fun of me to my brother. And they say, she never shuts up. He said, well, if you can't stand her now, you better get out of her way. So I want to praise God that he met me in the garden because he loves me. He wanted me one-on-one with him, Rachel. And he said, I created you and I named you. And what is my name? Boundless. I am vast and limitless. Because that's who he said. And Nancy said, tell people who you are. I am a mouth for the Lord, a mighty woman of God. And I am healed. I go do chemo to be a light. But let me tell you, there's coming a day of grace. November the 5th, I'm having a CT scan. And see, numbers are good because I'm seeing Dr. Delmas on the 19th, which is the number of faith, I think. So, but embrace where you're at, whatever it is, what God gives you. But quit letting, it's time to quit tolerating it and to say, okay, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. But more importantly, I'm going to be who God says I am. So, amen. Thank you.